We're on the telephone with University of Nebraska Extension Policy Specialist Brad Lubin. Brad, you have just written an article called Farm Programs, Payments, and Prospects. So let's talk about that. And let's talk about the farm program payments, first of all, and what you're seeing there.
We are looking at farm program payments that the USDA's Farm Service Agency is delivering to producers this month on the 2017 crop, as well as prospects for any payments on the 18 crop to be paid next fall. And the fundamental lesson from that analysis is that we know payments were going to go downhill, and it's quite remarkable about how quickly they've actually dropped, particularly with the overwhelming sign-up in ARC in Nebraska. We know those payments were going down because average prices going down meant that the guarantee was also going down. We've gotten to the point of where we had been collecting more than $500 or $600 million in payments in the last 3 years. We're somewhere less than $200 million this year and heading to much less than that next year. So the cash flow from the farm income support programs quickly disappearing here at the end of this farm bill.
Of course, we've got the new farm bill in the works here. Hopefully, they'll get that taken care of before the end of the year. So how's that going to change things there?
Well, interestingly enough, with the new farm bill and whether we get a new farm bill completed or not, which still has its own hurdles to jump through, obviously, but whether we get a new farm bill completed or whether we resort before the end of the year to extending current legislation, we overwhelmingly expect that producers will face a new decision in 2019. A new farm bill is likely to maintain the fundamental ARC and PLC programs with some modest changes, I think. And an extension would certainly keep the ARC and PLC programs intact. But in either case, we expect the producers will make a new decision in 2019 about how to sign up for the program. Under current price projections, that could swing the sign-up quite substantially toward PLC. Wheat and grain sorghum were already split between ARC and PLC, but might shift more to PLC. Corn and soybeans might make wholesale shifts as well. If that happens, and if we have the current price outlook we have for not much recovery, then we could see substantial payments due on the 19 crop, but that's not paid until 2020. So the safety net is still there. It might kick in again, but we have some cash flow challenges in the meantime.
We do have the market facilitation program payments coming, though, right?
Right, and that makes a substantial difference this fall, where we are substantially shrinking the ARC payments to producers this fall, but yet market facilitation payments have kicked in. And projections have that as perhaps more than $300 million in Nebraska alone. So that takes up a sizable chunk of what ARC was disappearing. It's still going down. It's possible that not all of those market facilitation payments will be picked up in 18. Some of those might roll over to 19. But fundamentally, that at least provides a little bit of support this fall that was disappearing from the rest of the program.
But it does sound like the USDA's hinted that there may not be a second round there, right?
Yes, I think it remains to be seen. When they announced the first round in the first case, they said that further analysis would determine whether a second round was needed. Now they have completed a renegotiation of NAFTA into the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, and if that's sufficient trade progress, then we might say that, well, the trade issues are beginning to be resolved, and that might lessen the burden on further support. Yet we know that some of the conflicts are still ongoing, and we know that even if those are sort of put to bed here in the next few weeks, the impact of those is still going to linger for quite some time. So it's difficult to say right now how much further support there might be. But if prices don't recover soon, whether due to rebounding export prospects or if prices don't recover simply due to lingering burdensome supplies, we're going to face a serious cash flow crunch, and there certainly will be pressure on potential additional assistance in the coming year.
You mentioned burdensome supplies. Big harvest, record soybean harvest right now. We see these pictures of beans being piled all over the place. How much pressure do you think this will put on the administration, if any, to try to get things resolved with China? I know there's some relief as far as getting the USMCA done and working on some other trade agreements now. But do you think the big soybean supplies being piled all over, I mean, is that going to put any pressure on them?
Well, it's a good question of whether supply and demand conditions here become a driver in sort of negotiating position. With the completion of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, arguably there is some momentum, not knowing even how that agreement will really play out and what the impacts might be, and even if it faces questions of approval yet in Congress. But if that's generating momentum, then the move to look at the next stage, and the administration has announced plans to negotiate with Japan, with the European Union, with the United Kingdom, but all of those are plans to initiate discussions, which certainly would take some time. And then the idea of meeting with China here soon may be a first step towards trying to diffuse the current conflict. I think we can all say that until the election results are in, we really don't know what the political climate will be a month from now, and that will certainly affect negotiating position as well as leverage and opportunity. So it's a bit premature to say that we can resolve this soon, and even if we do resolve it quickly, the market impacts are still going to linger for some time to try and recover what was lost. But in the short run, it's a challenge to the market, and missing that demand at the time when we have excess supplies is certainly a real downer for the ag economy.
You were telling me, you know, technically we don't even have a farm bill at the moment.
That's right. When September came and went, and we did not get a new farm bill negotiated and passed through Congress, and we did not even get an extension of current legislation put through, we technically saw the farm bill expire, and we now sort of move around in limbo here of not having farm bill legislation in place. Now, for some things like commodity programs, September 30th was not really the drop-dead date. It's December 31st. That's when the new production year starts, and the first thing it starts for is dairy. So we call it the milk cliff on New Year's Eve. If we don't get a farm bill in place by then, or an extension of current policy, we would technically revert to permanent legislation from 1949. We all know that's not feasible. It's not really politically palatable. But that just enforces that we'll get something in place in time to take care of it. There are some programs that don't need a farm bill to be reauthorized, and think crop insurance, for example. And then there are some programs where authority really ran out, and they either don't have the opportunity to do new things, or some of them live sort of day-to-day on temporary appropriations until we get a new bill in place. So we're really, as I said, sort of walking around in limbo here and not having long-term stability in our farm income safety net, nor in our other federal farm programs.